it's a blessing, but I literally everything that almost everything I've dreamed about, even if it was just a I've dreamed about fame, but it wasn't fame to be famous. It was just like, I really enjoy being a storyteller and a dancer. And I do like to sing. So I would love to make a living doing that, please. And so all those things have happened for me. Now, we all know about blessings, but like they come when you're ready to receive them.
I'm Trey.
I'm Quest. We're your host for the Truest Adventure podcast.
Each season, we focus on a different theme.
And in each episode, our guests will share stories of how they were motivated to go beyond their self-imposed boundaries.
Because that's the truest adventure.
I'm from Las Vegas, Nevada, but let me tell you something. I love Vegas because Vegas, you know, as they say, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So I'm like, yes, go to Vegas and get your life. But leave your credit card at home. Don't put it in a machine. Don't put it in there.
Yeah.
It's no good. It's no good.
Yikes. Okay, so you're originally from Vegas, which it's like, I don't know that I've ever met anybody else or talked to anybody else who is actually from Las Vegas.
You know what's really, and here's the kicker. everybody says that. Everybody's like, oh, yo, you're, yes, and no, I don't live in a hotel. I have a house. Yeah, my, listen, I'm from there. Yes. Where do you think the people who work there stay? Where do you think they stay? True, you really think true. They stay in a hotel on the strip and then they just go work downstairs to work? Is that what you think? Well, that's not what happens.
No,
people are so, but I get it because Vegas is this mystical place and it's like you go and you fucking put your credit card in the machine, excuse me, and it works and you're just like, oh my God. And then you get your bill and you're like, holy
Right. And like that's the whole setup, right? Like
exactly.
Just put it in the machine and don't worry about it. And
don't worry about it.
Tons of extra oxygen and it's gonna be fine.
Right. Would you like us to charge this to your room and you're drunk and you're like, yeah, sure. Sure.
That,
put it on the room.
Part. Oh wait. No, send my it. Favorite is the free cocktails. You know what? Yeah. Go, hey, yeah, come here. Yeah, you. Come over here. Put your money in this machine. Put your money in this machine. And guess what? You can drink all day for free. How about that? Just put your money in the machine. And people do it. My favorite are, now see, see, I'm so country. My favorite are the women, and I love them. They have those, you know, those sweatsuits from back in the 80s,
the ones that make the noises with the bedazzled hats.
The bedazzled hats and the sneakers and the Reeboks. Reeboks.
Yo, low key, that's my grandmother and her whole crew. Like, not even kidding. She was, my grandmother is a member of the ladies auxiliary of the VFW.
Okay.
Right. So they had their national convention here in New Orleans, like a couple weeks, maybe a month or so ago. And she hit me up like a couple weeks in advance and said, can I stay with you along with a friend? Long story short, my grandma rolls up on me 2 days before she's supposed to be here with four friends in tow instead of one friend and telling me how it took them twice as long to get to New Orleans. It's like a 3.5 hour drive from where I was born and raised to New Orleans. Took them 8 hours to get here because they made a pit stop to go to the restroom at Marksville Casino, which is about a 3 hour drive off route.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So you had to go, okay, wait, let me get this straight. You had to go 3 hours out the way to go to the or did you just want to go put some money in that slot machine? Come on, tell the truth.
Right.
Tell it like it is.
And that's exactly how it went down.
So, oh, that's funny.
Fun little fact, I actually used to live in Vegas for a couple of years.
Where?
D.I. and Swenson.
Yes, D.I. and Swenson.
I'm not sure where you live, but I always thought like the most interesting thing about living in Vegas is the normal things there aren't normal, right? You go to the gas station and there's someone playing the slot machines. You go to the grocery store and someone's playing the slot machines. And you're just like, it really kind of intensifies all of the situations because at any given point, someone could lose all of their money or make enough money so they can buy that 7-Eleven burrito and eat.
Oh,
and it's just
God,
like,
I know. You know what?
Man,
it's like,
the stakes are high.
Yeah. And like, I get it. Like, I actually get why Vegas is what it is. Like, I get it. You know, do I necessarily agree with something? I don't know. But I agree with it because I get why people are like, oh my God, beginner's luck. Like, I stuck a quarter in the machine. I hit the megabucks. I'm like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. And it's, you're not lucky. I hate to tell you, but it's a game. And depending on, you know, there's a lot of things about the game that I know. But it's just like, no. It's, there's really no luck involved. It's all, unfortunately, it's all calculated. Right. In the sense of, yeah, you're lucky if you happen to be the person that comes over and puts that quarter in and he hits the megabucks. Yeah, that's lucky that it was you. But I love that it's a game and it's played by players. Right. And there are players in sweatsuits who will literally like be behind you at the machine and they just watch you. They just watch. They like prey on people. Right. And as soon as you get up, they sit down on your machine and it's like, you're gonna, you,
that's why you they got the tracksuit on.
Yeah. Yeah, you won't even walk away five steps and all of a sudden you hear ding, 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 and you're like, what the?
Right, those are the rules. Okay, so then when do you ultimately, like at what age do you leave Vegas and why?
Yeah, well, see, I got out of there quick. I left when I, high school for me, when I was 18, I was like, listen, I just need to go away. I don't care where. I mean, I wanted to go to Juilliard actually when I was 18 and... That was just God. God was like, no, you're not ready for New York. Yeah. You will crash and burn. So you, so I, you know, it was kind of like a last minute decision for me to go to the University of Evansville, Indiana. And it's one of the best undergraduate programs out there. And a lot of people don't know about it, but all the graduates from there in the drama program are at Yale, NYU, Juilliard, UCSD. We're all over the place, over the place. And a lot of people I'm talking about, listen, this is not my SAT score or my ACT score, but I was in school with people with like perfect.
Yeah,
I was like, so why are you a theater major? Well, you know, I'm just because of what you dig the art. I'm like, get out of here. Go be a banker because you're actually smart. You're a good person. You love the arts. We actually need people like you in fields with people where their IQ is like, what is it, 10? Are you 10? Are you a 10 or 15? Because I can't really understand why you don't understand about humanity, compassion, like, the, you know, the things that are, I don't know, that just people who are sensitive, whatever it is. People are human and there is a space for everything. I really do believe that.
Yeah. And then so you wanted to go to Juilliard right out of high school, but ultimately go to, it's Evansville in Indiana?
Evansville. Now don't get it mixed up because there's an Evanston and there's an Evansville, Indiana. There's also, yeah, I think there's an Evanston, Illinois maybe, and an Evansville, Indiana.
That's where Northwestern is, and they also have a very good theater department.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Carnegie Mellon. You know, I know people from everywhere that I've just like been like, you know, it really doesn't matter where you go. I really feel like it's what you apply to it, because I thought Juilliard, Yale, NYU, Harvard, UCSD, and this is no ego, but like I got into all those schools. And so when I graduated Evansville, you know, Evansville's really serious about graduate school. They're not like, they don't really condone leaving after your, you know, senior year and going and trying to be a movie star. They don't really condone that unless you are like Robin Williams. Like some people are like 18, and even that, people like Anna Paquin, there are people who are like 8 and you're like, okay, so you're 8 and you're gonna just do brilliant performances like at 8. Okay. Yeah, I'm here for it. Yeah. But that's not for everybody, if that makes sense, you know.
Perfectly makes sense. It's a skill, it's an art, it's something that's learned and honed. Yeah. Absolutely makes perfect sense.
Well, yeah, and there are also some people who are real, who are natural, but what they're natural at is fucking rare. Like there aren't many people who can just get up in front of a camera and or on stage and as a comedian or as a dancer or as a, you want me to, list goes on, that can get up and be like, brilliant. I'm sorry. That could just do that with no training. I mean, I even know people who are, we all know people, because look at the subways in New York and look at all the talent that's underground under the subways. Look at that. That should be a show. Like somebody should go around every day and just go in the subways and see who they see. Like, who's playing today? Who's tapping today with bottle caps on the back of their shoes? Like, my dad's a tap dancer. So when I see boys like that, I tip them so much money. And I'm like, I don't even know if you're going to do right by this money. But instead of a dollar, here's five. Yeah. Because You just need to know that what you're doing is actually amazing. And maybe you should keep doing it. Maybe you should get a phone and record it and put it on Instagram. Like, you never know.
Right, right.
You especially never know this what day and age, right? Open.
There's a dude that has an Instagram account that all his Instagram account, he lives in New York City. He basically just pops wheelies on a bike. He has like 25,000 followers on Instagram.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
He's like famous.
Yeah.
He's Instagram famous, and he rides a bicycle and pops wheelies. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Super skilled.
I gotta check that out.
Like you said.
Oh, wow.
And by the way, if you are ever looking for a co-host for that show, count me in. I would love to do that.
Just, dope.
Regina, you see how he's trying to jump ship already? See how he's trying to jump off this podcast and hop on yours?
You're just not going to let it go. You are just still kind of, are you sour? Are you a little sour about it?
I'm a little sour. It's the Ooist podcast doesn't sound as good. The Ooist adventure is not as hot as the truth.
Well, you know, people, it's like anything. People get used to it.
That's it. Okay, so you graduate from college and then you ultimately do go to Juilliard, right?
Yeah. And what's interesting is that the first show I did in high school, I went to Las Vegas Academy of International Studies, Visual and Performing Arts, whatever.
I was like, that sounds swanky.
No, I mean, yeah, they're like, that's so bougie, but it's not. That school is amazing. And that school saved my life, like, for real. Like, that was a place that I was a dance and a theater major. Because I was like, you can't tell me I can't dance, and you can't tell me I can't act. And you know what? You can't tell me I can't sing. Yeah. Now, I can't sing good enough right now to get into this here quiet department, but let me tell you something. I'm going to work on it, and I'm going to do Chicago. Going to do Chicago. I want to play Velma or Roxy, whichever you like.
Nice.
And I want to kick my leg and stomp my feet and dance to the beat before I can't do it no more.
Before I can't do it anymore.
You know, so... Yeah.
And so how would you describe, so you said when you wanted to go to Juilliard out of high school, from high school graduation, and you described it as like, look, God was like, look, you're not ready yet for New York. How would you, what was different about, you know, Rutina post-college graduation versus high school graduation that made you feel like you were ready?
Well, when I was like stuck in Indiana, I love Indiana, but when you are the only Black girl in the drama program, and you play Tituba in the Crucible for your final show of your first year. Oof. I was like, hold up. Hey. I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, I don't know about this here, because let me tell you, listen, I started to think like, well, am I only here to play Tituba? Like, did you only accept me because I was just the what you can find? Because don't nobody want to come to the middle of Indiana from Vegas. Like, right. What is this place?
Right.
I was like, Indiana is crazy. And not crazy like bad, but it's just, there's different folks there and people are raised differently. People believe different things. And if you're a girl from a big city and you go to a small town like that, it was a culture shock and I missed home and I didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
And I try not to get emotional, but like, I was like, I was like, I'm out. I was like, I can't do this. And then I was really kind of upset because I was like, well, you want me to play Tituba, but I want to play, you know, Grusha in the Caucasian Chalk Circle. Like, I don't want to just play Tituba all the time. And I don't want to be the narrator. Oh, you like my voice? So I'm going to narrate everything. Why can't I be the ingenue?
Yeah.
No, I want to be Juliet. I want to try.
Yeah.
Me, I want to try. So I was just like, So anyway, and I love this school for this. And this is why this school had my back and still has my back to this day. This school called my mom or probably my grandmother, and they were like, listen. And I remember John David Lutz, he was like, hey, we're going to lose her. he was like, you guys need to come here because we're going to lose her and blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, I'm chilling because I'm like, I'm in college. I'm away from home. These boys ain't ready for me. I was like, let's go. So I'm like, I'm walking around and I'm literally, I'll never forget, I was crossing the plaza in Evansville University, and I look up and I see three figures. And it kind of looks like my grandmother, and it kind of looks like my mom, and it kind of looks like my aunt. And when I got a little bit closer, and when I tell you I sprinted full speed, and I can't remember if I dropped my bags, but I sprinted with all my might and I ran, and I don't know who was the first person I hugged, but I was so happy to see them because I was like, oh my God, like I want to go.
Oh, wow.
I was like, this place is, and they, you know, cooked me food and took me shopping and the stuff that like a kid needs sometimes. Right. Because, like, even though I was 18, like, I'm still a kid. I'm still like, okay, I really like it here because I'm learning a lot about acting and it's really cool. But yeah. I'm the only one. And this shit is like, sorry. I mean, but I'm just like, this is like, yeah. This hurt. This is weird. I don't know how to adjust to this because I come from a high school where I had Asian, white, black, brown, velvet, like friends. Yeah. Everybody was different. And that's why I think I am the way I am. It's because I had so many different types of people and cultures around me from an early age that I'm okay with everybody. I mean, as long as you can hold water, like, then I can hold water too. You know what I mean? Right, but like, right. If you talking about you want to hold, you hold water and then you don't hold my water, I'm going to have a problem with you.
Yeah,
I'm going to have
sense.
A problem.
Yeah.
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 Okay. And so then you ultimately go to Juilliard.
And
tell us about like that experience, like finally being in that place that at this point you had wanted to go to, or, and I may be putting words in your mouth to say it was like a dream, but like you'd wanted to go to Juilliard for like four more years strong by the time you get there. What was the experience like once you finally made it?
Juilliard was like a Juilliard. You're correct. Juilliard was a dream come true for me. I remember, I think it was toward the end of my first year. I was walking on 42nd and on 9th, and I was between 42nd and 43rd on 9th Avenue, kind of over there by Second Stage. And I was walking by that little, it's still there. It's a restaurant. It's a deli / coffee. It's cause right there on the right. On the east side. So I remember exactly because I was talking to my friend from high school, Jason Monopaz, and he was a piano player / singer. He was actually my Oscar Victoria Vidal mm-hmm. from Sweet Charity, because I played Charity the senior year. Wow. And at LVA. LVA is short, that's for my high school. So I play Charity and he was my Victoria Vidal. And I remember he was always like a big cheerleader for me as a friend. He was just like, you know what, Regina, like you are like you're amazing. Like, I don't think you really understand. Like, when I was just like, yeah, yeah, whatever. You know, I just kind of not like, I get really shy when people try to compliment me. Yeah. So sometimes people take that as like, well, just take the compliment. I'm like, well, no, it's just, I'm blushing because black people do blush. Yeah. And I got to go over here because you're making me uncomfortable because I'm like smiling. And just, there's a lot of reasons. I'm just shy. Basically, I'm just saying I'm shy. Yeah. So he basically called, I was talking to him and he said verbatim, he was like, Regina, do you remember when we did Fame? And that was the very first show we did for my high school, my freshman year. And I was like, yeah, I do. And he was like, well, remember when you said you were going to go to the Fame school? And I was like, pause. I was like, yeah, I do. And meaning like, kind of like LaGuardia High School, but I also think subconsciously I meant Juilliard. Because yeah. That is kind of like a fan, because LaGuardia High School is what catacorner to Juilliard, yeah. To Lincoln Center,
absolutely.
It's right there.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I do. And he goes, well, look at, you do realize you're like living your dream. Like you are there, you're at Juilliard right now. You do realize that, right? And I was like, pause. Yeah. Wow. And I think I started crying because it hit me in a way of like, oh my God, like a lot of, you know what? And this is not like, I always have to say it's not ego, because sometimes people think if you get a little big for your britches when you talk about, but it's a blessing. But I literally, almost everything I've dreamed about, even if it was just I've dreamed about fame, but it wasn't fame to be famous. It was just like, I really enjoy being a storyteller and a dancer.
Yeah.
And I do like to sing. So I would love to make a living doing that.
Yeah.
Please. And so all those things have happened for me. Now, we all know about blessings, but like they come when you're ready to receive them.
Right.
And so sometimes for me, I was like, no, you weren't ready to receive that, because there are, look how many people we know, how many artists that get it too early. # get it too early.
Right, right, right.
You know, and they're not ready for it. And these people are brilliant. And I've seen so many young folks just kind of get lost is the word, I guess.
Yeah.
And because they don't know no better. And also they're surrounded by people who aren't helpful in their growth.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think that makes complete sense. And then so in this, you ultimately like, you come out of Juilliard and you're then further living your dream, like of what you just described, like you're then pursuing the opportunity to make a living doing this thing that you love, this storytelling, this dancing. How were the, or how was the initial phase of trying to get jobs and trying to get parts and things like that?
You know, it was, I've been very lucky. I've actually, my favorite Shakespeare is Romeo and Juliet, and I've actually played Juliet, but I only got to play part of the way because I split it between two other girls when I went to RADA. Mm-hmm. And I went to RADA with my very dear good friend of mine, Jacob Fischel. We went to Juilliard together. we were married. he's amazing. But we went to RADA together for their 8-week Shakespeare intensive. And I got to play Juliet there. So that's another dream of mine. So I can't really, like, when I look at my bucket list, I'm like, well, I kind of got to do it. It's like, I kind of got a chance to do that. Yeah. So I can't really say, you know, I can't be mad if I'm like 50 and I'm still going, I haven't played Juliet. People are like, Rutina, you're 50. I'm like, yes, but I need to. Can we make her 50?
Wait.
Let's make a Juliet who is 50 and she's in love and, you know, let's just change. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. Because Juliet is like 14. Sorry. I just love Shakespeare. And I've gotten a chance to do it. And thanks to Barry and Rebecca Teichman over at the Old Globe, I got to play Viola in Twelfth Night. And that was like some of the best work I've done in a while. My best work, my best Shakespeare, though, was when I played Juliet at RADA. Because I remember Jacob said to me at the time, he was like, he's like, you said lines in ways that I never heard them. And he's like Mark Rylance. Like, Jacob Fischel is like Shakespeare guru. Yeah. Like, my class, I was in class with Oscar Isaac. I was in class with Jessica Collins. I was in class with Rebecca Brookshire. I was in class, like, my class, group 34 of the Juilliard School drama division. Yeah. You like how I said that? Yeah. The Juilliard School drama division.
That also just got super real. Group 34.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, let's not get it twisted. Yeah. Okay, no, but my class was amazing. And even if you went and asked other people who were in class, you know, when I was there, would say that, like, yeah, group 34 was a very special group. September 11th happened my first year of Juilliard. Got to New York, September 11th happened, and I was like, oh. And my family couldn't, you know, they had trouble getting a hold of me, but they did. But my grandmother was like, you're coming home, and da-da-da. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to fly, and I'm definitely not taking no bus, and I'm not, so I'm going to just, you know, I'll be in touch. And if you don't hear from me right away, you know, just know that I'm okay, because I surrounded myself. Like, it was really interesting because that happened and my class did nothing but bond together. We were like, well, especially those of us who were from out of town. Yeah. And I knew one of my classmates, Mandy, she was from Oklahoma, and she was just like devastated because it was like, also, we're students. We don't have money to get home.
Right.
And no one's trying to get on a plane right now.
Right. Right.
So it was just like, we had to come together, and I love Juilliard for doing this, but they had, I'm not for sure if they made a space or allowed a space for us to just talk and be. They're really good about that. When we've had some deaths at Juilliard and stuff that we've had to go through as a group and collectively, and they've given us space to mourn and given us space to grieve our classmates and friends and you know, we've lost some. Wow.
And so,
yeah, we've lost some amazing people, some amazing artists from that program. Sorry.
No, I was about to say, I didn't appreciate that 9/11 happened during your first year at Juilliard. So adds kind of like this heavy moment that everybody across the country was experiencing to the marries that with, you know, the first year of your fulfillment or effort to fulfill this like dream you had. That had to be like this crazy juxtaposition.
Yeah, it's you know, I don't forget because it's etched in me. Like, something like 9/11 is etched into our DNA, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I don't, you know, it's just every time, I mean, I was there. I mean, I'll never forget, like, one of the person, I was in class, I was in movement class, I'll never forget. And one of the students ran in, and it just so happened to be the guy that tells jokes a lot. Yeah. So nobody really believed him when he said a plane has hit the World Trade Center. We were like, okay, dude, you're not, okay, come on, right. You're not. And it was serious. Yeah. And then when I went upstairs and saw the second plane hit live, I was like, whoa.
Wow.
Like, because what do you say to that? Like, do you remember when that happened? Like, if you just happen to be watching the news and you're kind of like, Right. You kind of start to be like, am I up? Am I really up or am I dreaming? Because this is...
Right. And the crazy... I was just going to say the crazy part about this, like us having this discussion is we were just hanging out this weekend. We were both out of town and we were having this, like the same discussion came up amongst the group of people we were sitting around the table outside with about where folks were during 9/11. And like, I was in my first year of college at Tulane down here in New Orleans. And it's like my family's from Central Louisiana, but I was raised mostly just south of Seattle. So it was like the same thing. Like I remember being out of class to watch on TV the second plane go into the building. And it's exactly what you described. Like, what do you say to that? Just other than just like, oh shit. And especially in that, like that space, it's like you were describing earlier about your time in college. I think I'm a little bit younger than you. And like, so I'm 17, 18. And it's like, what do I know about like this sort of thing happening? So I completely understand the sentiment. Like, what do you say to that?
Yeah. It was just like, it was amazing. It was beautifully overwhelming. You know what? Because I will say that it definitely brought the country together. But here we are now. I mean, if we talk about where we are now, it's like, do you remember like what happened?
Right.
You know, 2000. You know, is anybody not remember how? Okay. Right. So we see the path we're on, right? Right. Okay, great. So does anybody want to get off this? You stop this train from the wreck?
Right.
Excuse me. You know what I mean? Right. It's because it's like the world is in chaos, but still everyone is looking for the beauty because there's beauty amongst the chaos. There always will be.
Right. Always.
Whether it's ugly beauty or beautiful, whatever you want to call it, there's beauty everywhere and there will be chaos. That's life.
Right.
But it's like the how. It's like the how do you... Yeah, it's like how do you navigate life though? Because the easy way out is to just give up, is to just, well, I'm going to self-medicate or whatever like people choose to do your vices. And I'm saying vices that are harmful to you, not necessarily because all vices aren't harmful to you.
Right.
So it's like, are you meditating? Are you even, are you trying to live a good life or are you just hoping and getting by?
Yeah.
The tribe, right? That part.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm a firm believer. You meet so many people and when you hear the language that they use, it's how life is happening to them.
Right.
And it's such a difference when you talk to people that are acknowledging that certain things will happen to them, but they are actively engaged in moving forward and being an active participant in their life and making things happen for themselves.
Yeah.
So.
No, absolutely. And so, Rutina, I want to talk to you a little bit about kind of like from your perspective, like I described when we were starting up, like, you know, some of the hottest stuff Rutina's done is True Blood and like, you know, Queen Sugar, because that's like the most popular stuff. But I'd love to hear from your perspective, what are the high points in your career, things that like you are personally proud of or that stand out for you when you're talking amongst friends, family, and folks that you're close to?
Well, that would be, How She Move, which is the first film I did.
Yeah.
The Vertical Hour with Julianne Moore, Bill Nye. I was on Broadway. The Workshop of The Color Purple. Yeah. The musical, I played Betty. Mm. That was amazing. And most recently, I would say Hannibal.
Yeah.
Brian Fuller gave me, I try not to get emotional, but like, he didn't just cast the black girl because she's black. Mm. Like, a lot of, I have to say that because a lot of fans were like not happy because they were like, she is white in the book. Like, people were, when it's based on something, the fans are coming for you if you do not do it right. And so I was thankful though. That even though people were like, oh, great, she was horrible in True Blood. She was horrible, some people would say. She was horrible.
Those people are idiots. Those people are morons.
Yeah,
when
so
I,
just
I,
like,
I
oh,
can
goodness.
I just really quickly interrupt you? Because when I told my mom, Alana, that you were fortunate enough to have two moms and both listen to the podcast, I just want to make sure that they know that I recognize them both as moms.
You were about to walk into some shit and watch you threw that
but
out.
But only one of them watches True Blood, and that's Alana. And when she told me I was going to be talking with you today, she freaked out. So people love you on True Blood.
Yeah. And I look, and this is, I'm like debating like how much of this to share. Part of the reason when I got a chance to meet you at the Creole Queen event for the National Park Service, I was like, oh shit, yeah. It's Rutina Wesley. I've been on the Rutina bandwagon and had this celebrity crush on you since True Blood.
Oh goodness.
I remember True Blood came out when I was living in Southwest Georgia and I was clerking at the time. And so I was like in Albany, Georgia, which was proved to me you can live anywhere for any number of time, like great people there, but it's like 2 years in Albany. I got a dog, I took up fishing, and I watched tons of television. And so I was like, yes, Rutina, that is it. So like anybody who says that Rutina in True Blood was not good, they're morons. But okay, so yeah, but you were saying like, sorry, we interrupted your flow.
Yeah.
No, that's very sweet. No, I mean, that's also part of being an artist is like, you really can't care what people think about your art because art is subjective. Art is like, you can do whatever with art.
Yeah.
Art is, you can, someone can, somebody could trace a penny and be like, I traced this penny. Yeah. Glorious. And someone's like, yes, $5,000. Like people think that what you think was weird,
yeah,
they think it's beautiful. Or what you think is ugly, they think is gorgeous. Just you get what I'm saying. No, so
completely agree with
it. So I had to stop looking at the message boards. I had to stop reading reviews unless they were sent by my team. I had to stop, you know, and what I like about not obsessing about the internet is I get surprised when I do pop on social media. I'm getting so much love from so many fans from way back, fans from How She Moved, people who, I love when people watch True Blood and go, oh my God, that's the girl from How She Moved. I think that's so cool. That's so cool because like, what dance movie do you know? Like, I mean, or people who watch Hannibal and go, oh my God, that's Tara from True Blood, her hair. I'm like, well, I'm a chameleon. Like, we're actors. This is what we do.
Right.
You're supposed to transform. Like, you're supposed to, like, this is what I came to realize. I'm glad that I pissed people off as Tara because that means I did my job. Tara was not the nicest.
She was not the nicest.
Like, you know, Tara has some issues. Tara was like, but I love Tara because she spoke from her heart and she said what the fuck she wanted to say. Right. And she was, I mean, I think Alan Ball one time we talked about, like, I mean, she's kind of was like, I would describe her as like the voice of reason. Like she would be like, Sookie, so you want me to allow you, smack her lips, to date a vampire that you don't know. You know what I mean? She just had to like break it down. She was like, wait a minute. And then it was like, oh, so me being named after a plantation, that's funny to you. What is funny about that? Right. You know what right. I mean? Like Tara was like, she just, because it just be real stuff, but now she got an attitude about right. it. But she talks about real shit. And that's why I fucks with Tara. but you know, I'm just saying like, she was, Alan Ball really, I mean, when I got to turn into a vampire, that was like the most fun I have ever had almost. Because I got to turn into the thing that my character hates.
Wow.
Like, who gets to do that? Yeah. Like, you get to actually walk in the shoes of the person you've been talking about.
Right. Yeah. Which is like, yeah. It's levels to it, right, too? Because you're playing the character who then is having this experience outside of themselves. That's heavy.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
So I totally got Tara in a whole nother way. And then I love that I love that Tara was kind of bisexual or just maybe hurt.
Yeah.
You know, like I love that, and I love that there was never a period on it. It was up for the audience to decide what type of, if, you know, sexual, what Tara's sexual preference was, because it didn't really matter to me that she was gay, straight, black, green. I don't care. Right. It's like, be you. Be who you want to be. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. Doesn't really matter. Yeah. So I loved that Alan allowed me to explore that. And also, like, I mean, I'm serious about my work. So I really like to create characters that are they're authentic and they're authentically based in a real sort of human experience that is relatable and that is engaging and that is healing and that people can connect to in some sort of way. Because if my work can move one person, then I feel like I've done my job. Like I said, I don't care about awards. I don't care about fame. It's not even about, I just want to tell stories and I hope that maybe I can make somebody laugh. Like maybe someone thinks I'm funny. Yeah. Like I think that's great, you know? Yeah. And then I would say Queen Sugar has been the best role of my life because it is me. Like, I feel like I'm Nova, minus the fact that I'm not a journalist or like a real life activist, even though I feel like there is activism in my platform of being an actor. Yeah. And so I just don't, I can thank Ava. It's hard to talk about it without crying because me coming full circle with Oprah, the fact that I played Nettie in the Broadway workshop and the fact that I didn't get to go on to the Broadway show, never thought I'd meet Oprah. I was like, well, there was my chance. Who would have thought that 10 years later I would be starring on her show on OWN and, you know, created by Ava DuVernay. Nova was not in the books. Ava made her up.
Oh, wow.
I just, you know, and Ava being like, I want you to play, you know, Nova's a very specific type of woman and it's going to take a very specific type of actor to play her. And I want you to do it. Like, I paused for like, I thought it was like 15 minutes, yeah. But I'm sure it was only 15 seconds. But when I tell you, I was like, what you say? You said. You know when you pause, and then the person on the other line be like, "Hello,
right, hello." Right. That's what we just did.
Hello?
I literally
did that. Hello, is this thing on? Hello.
We literally looked at each other and went,
"I was like,
do we say something here?"
Great. I didn't know what to do, and then when she was like, "You know, this is what I, you know, we don't want you to play Nova," and then the cookie, the ice cream on the cake was, and Dawn Lien will be playing your sister. I said, okay, so you're trying to tell me that.
You got us again. I was like,
you're trying to tell me that my sister, who's already my sister, is going to play my sister? Like, wait a minute.
Wow. And I, you know, that.
Okay, wow. And, yeah. And also, Dawn, actually, I just want to say this, like, one little thing, yeah. But Dawn actually wanted to, she, like, didn't want to be an actor when I, but the last time I saw Dawn, she was like, fuck this, I'm out.
Oh, wow. Really? Wow.
Yeah. Cool. And so. And also, Dawn, we auditioned together on the same day. We both tested on the same day. I walked out of my audition with Ava, and who leapt up out of her seat? Dawn Lien Gardner. Wow. She was like, I so needed to see you right now. And I was like, I was like trying to keep it together. And guess who else was there? Tree, who's Timid.
Yeah.
Timid called Durrett, who plays Davis.
Oh, wow.
We all were there, auditioned on the same day, and we all booked the job. You hear me? I just bleeped myself out for you guys. Oh, I just censored myself.
I guess we should have told you earlier. We cuss like sailors, so we're fine throwing an explicit tad on.
Oh, I was just going to say, and we booked the motherfucking job. That's what I was going to say.
I was going to say, y'all got that shit. Y'all nailed that shit.
Right.
Well, and that's incredible because at the Creole Queen event where you and Donlin were interacting, I was like, I was taken aback a little bit because I was like, this is obviously not people who are playing as though they're close just on a TV show. These two women are very close friends. Like, that's real.
Yep. Yep. That's my girl. That's my girl forever and always.
And so, Rutina, to kind of close out our interview, we've talked a lot with you about kind of your upbringing and your career and your training as an actress. What would be your truest adventure in art?
Okay. Truest adventure. And then that is just, okay. So to sum it up would be like, what is the one thing that is just like, I just want to make sure I'm going to give the, you know, the one thing that I'm just kind of like.
Yeah. And so a truest adventure is something that motivates you to go beyond self-imposed boundaries. That's how we define it.
Okay, that, you know what? That, let me tell you, yep, that's what I thought we were going. Okay, listen, I'm going to keep it real, real. When Nelson Ellis died and passed away, that was a beautiful, painful sign for me. And it got me right up out of my comfort zone. It got me right up out of my insecurity. And because I will be 39 in December, and Nelson was 39, and he was just newly 39. And that was my boy. That was my dude.
You guys went to Juilliard together, right?
Yeah, that was my dude, man. That was my dude. So it's just like, yeah, it's just, I miss him. I miss him, but I get it. And I can be just as tired sometimes or feel just as tired. I could feel like I've got the world on my shoulders. I can feel like I'm trying to save the world by myself. And so I feel like his passing for me was like, time to get up. it's time for you, Regina Wesley, to get up. Go now, go hard, go strong, go fast, go loud. You might need to take a break and breathe and take a nap. You need to sleep. You need to eat. You need to take care of yourself. Life is short.
Yeah.
It's short, and you don't know what you're going to get. Right. You don't know what it's going to give you. And so you have to take care, because if we living in our last days, honey, Donald Trump, what you doing? If we living in our last days, then I'm going to live life. Yeah. And I miss my friend dearly. I miss him. But I am happy in the sense that what he maybe wanted to do and he couldn't do, maybe I can help him in that way to continue his legacy. I mean, he was an incredible writer. He's got some amazing projects and things that he wanted to do. And there's just, I want the world to know him, even though the world already knows him. I mean, you don't know many people at 39 years old that touch the world. And he did that. And I know he's smiling and I know he's seeing like, oh my gosh. And I'm just looking up at him like, yes, dude, you were the shit. Like everybody loved you. So I just, that would be my truest adventure, because it was like, now it's my truest adventure almost. It's almost like that happened. And now I'm like, okay, time to go get my truest adventure. Like, it's like, let's go. Yeah. I want to go and I want to take my friends and my family and my people with me. Right. And my village is coming too, that part, because we can all win together. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We love that. Well, look, thank you so much.
You're welcome. You guys are great. Sweet.
I want to throw this out here, because I doubt that there's any of our listeners who are not already Rutina fans. But if we have somebody who happens to be listening to this and is not already a Rutina fan, from just the opportunity to hear what positive light you're putting in the world just through this interview, I want to share this like small story of like our interaction when I approached you about doing the podcast. And I said to you, I said, look, I have to ask, because if I don't ask, you know, we'll never know whether we could have had you as a guest. And I said, if it turns out that we're too small time for you, I won't be offended. Like, I'm just grateful to have had a chance to meet you. And you said to me, no one is too small time for me. I'm about the people. Tell me what your podcast is about. And the fact that like you are that sort of human being, aside from the incredible work that you do and your celebrity, I was like incredibly moved by. And I think that other folks will be too. And I think it's just like a testament to you living the truth of what you just said about your friend passing away, and using that as a space to propel the light forward. So thank you just for being you, aside from the dope ass acting and all that. Thank you for just being the human you are out there.
Oh, you're gonna make me cry. Thank you. That's very sweet. Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to do our closeout, and then we're going to let you be free to be great.
I'm Trey.
And this is Quest. This has been The Truest Adventure.